of men have just discovered something. For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it. Or hear it. Or feel it.
I know I'm human. Some of you are still human. This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to. But it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's won.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? He can beat one of those things!
I know you gentlemen have been through a lot, but since we found the time, I'd rather not spend the rest of the evening watching one of you, I won't say which Dave I'm referring to, clip his fucking toenails. But what I would rather do is talk about tonight's movie, the horror classic that this guy watched today for the first time from 1982, John Carpenter's The Thing. But I'm not watching it alone. First up, I know I'm human. And if he was one of those things, then he'd just attack me right now. So I think he's still human too. Mr. Christopher Mars, how are you on this fine evening? And are you even drinking?
I am doing well, Michael. I am actually drinking. As you know, I'm running the marathon in a few days, humble brag. So I haven't been drinking the past couple of weeks, but I am going with something light. Miller Lite beer, since we have a nice, light, easy movie. Not a lot, you know, nice, easy, kick, put your feet up, whistle, no big significance, you know, nothing scary.
Yeah, a nice family fun film.
Just a breeze, as Dave says, easy breezy.
Goes down easy. I'm not drinking, so I'm the only one not drinking, I think, because I'm drinking a Diet Coke out of my Teen Wolf commemorative podcasting cup. But next up, the man we're talking about here is an organism that imitates other life forms, and it imitates them perfectly. Tonight, he's imitating a man who hopefully has perfectly manicured toes already, a man whose attention span hopefully won't have him half-focused on the movie playing in the background, Mr. David Corsetto, who I already see watching TV in the background. How is my friend doing? And what is he drinking tonight?
I'm just drinking a little scotch, I guess.
Nice.
Chris got me in the mood for that. Yeah, and I am watching another horror classic. But listen, I will give credit where credit is due. This was a good scary movie. I thought Chris wanted us to watch the Swamp Thing.
That's the best. Yes. I wish we didn't correct you. I wish so badly we didn't correct you.
That would have been
I'm glad we didn't watch Swamp Thing, because this movie kicked off the horror month in great fashion.
The Thing, from 1982, directed by John Carpenter, screenplay by Bill Lancaster, based on John W. Campbell's 1938 short story, Who Goes There?, that was then turned into the 1951 film, The Thing from Another World, which was featured in another fine movie we did last spooky season, John Carpenter's Halloween. It's starring Kurt Russell, Wilford Brimley, Keith David, who I've never seen looking so young, and a bunch of recognizable characters like T.K. Carter, who's been in a bunch of things, including Punky Brewster, and the guy from L.A. Law, who for some reason had a nose ring in this movie. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 83% on the critic score, 92% on the audience score. The Metacritic only has 57. I don't know what that means, Metacritic. No one really pays attention to that. It is not on the AFI's 100 Greatest American Films. And it wasn't a huge hit. It had a budget of $15 million with a box office of only $19.6 million, with international box office of 2,000, not 200,000, wow. $2,955. It was nominated for two awards. It was nominated for Best Horror Film in the 1983 Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films. Any idea who it lost to in 1983?
Poltergeist?
Nailed it.
Nice.
Very good. And it also was nominated for Worst Musical Score by Ennio Morricone.
It got a Razzie.
It was nominated for a Razzie. It lost to the Pirate movie. Remember the Pirate movie? Big musical. So it was nominated for a Razzie.
Either way, outrageous.
Outrageous. And yes, this was first time I've ever seen this movie today.
Amazing. You know,
which a big following, though. You don't hear a lot.
Well, it does now. I disagree.
I see followings for it online in on Twitter, people talking about it, like, especially this time of year.
You don't really see it like you see Halloween or Exorcist or The Shining.
It's not on
a Halloween loop. But it does have a huge respect and a huge cult following. And I always hear it mentioned, best, scariest films and all that. Right. They don't play it usually during Halloween. I think I did show my kids the movie a couple of years ago. Yeah. I was shocked that you hadn't seen it, Michael. And because it's right in that time, where you would watch such movies.
Yeah.
I remember first seeing it on cable and thinking it, I'm really enjoying it. As I watched it more and more, I appreciated it more and more. The special effects were amazing, obviously.
I love old-fashioned practical effects
ever.
Okay, stop motion animation. I love it.
Stand up. My son was watching it as I came in. He was watching. He's like, "What the fuck is this?"
No, it's definitely of a time. Like, I think of American Werewolf in London.
The same guy, yeah, I think.
I think that was, or was that Rick Baker? Or do you work together? I don't know, but.
I really care about the special effects was good. It was good for the time. I actually like the story. The story is so fucking.
If you look back at the 38 short story, I thought, okay, John Carpenter might have modernized it, done this whole thing with Antarctica, but that was in the original story as well, in the original movie. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the same type of mystery. So you're talking about John Carpenter, how it was a box office flop. This was his, after the success of Halloween, and I think he did Escape from New York before this, which I think you haven't seen either, which is unbelievable.
I think I feel like I've seen most of it.
So
really young, though.
It's been Escape from New York prior to this movie or after?
Yeah, it was prior to this movie.
Is that Kurt Russell's first really big movie?
Yeah, they didn't want him. They didn't want him. The studio was like, the guy, the kid from Disney. They wanted an action hero.
He was a kid actor.
Escape from New York was 81, so it was coming off. That was his prior movie. I guess it probably did well in the box office, critically acclaimed. It's funny because I think MacReady's kind of like a Snake Plissken type character, almost him with an eye patch.
Same hair, same beard. He's got that cool
rough and tumble.
Kurt Russell.
So the studio gave Carpenter, carte blanche, and he loved this movie. He thought this was to this day this is his favorite movie over Halloween. This is his favorite movie. And the reason he said he liked the story so much when he read the original, he just loved. Was it Lancaster that did the screenplay? I think you said.
Yes.
Manchester.
Bill Lancaster.
He loved the, he said he did this movie because he loved the part with the blood, like the mystery of the testing of the blood. There's a whole, which is an amazing part, right?
It was like, because it was so, you thought, well, is anything going to happen? And then when it did happen, I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, they kind of, right. They do so many, we'll get to it, but they do so many, you know, negative tests that you're almost not even prepared for that. But it's, I love how it's, you know, I think the practical effects are amazing too.
And they're bonkers too. They're also, not like, they're ridiculously just like
crazy.
Yes.
But the story, just the mystery, it's almost like a whodunit, even, you know, not really a whodunit, but it's like, who is the thing showing all their faces? And you, as you mentioned, I love one location movies. I love that it's, you know,
they're trapped, isolated.
Antarctica. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great characters.
And it's full of paranoia. Like that's, I think that's
That's one of the biggest, right. That's one of the biggest themes, I would say, right? So was it probably a tough year for him to release this too, with the same year as E.T. You know, everybody wants to see fun-loving aliens, not aliens that will, you know, end, you know, humankind. So that was a tough, beat for him. So, but
plus
yeah.
Plus also the same year, I don't want to bring it up again, but also the same year as Swamp Thing.
Was it really?
Yeah, 1982. I just looked it up now. Two movies with Thing in the title.
I don't remember anything. Well, I remember two things about Swamp Thing.
And both are on Adrian
Barbeau. And those two things are were married to John Carpenter, coincidentally, right?
That's
right.
And
her voice, as I mentioned, after researching, her voice is the computer that MacReady loses to in Chess, uncredited. Oh,
what a computer! That the whole computer was just a chess game.
Yeah, there was some rough computer.
It looked old, but they were also way too advanced for that time too, with the voice, right?
Which
I liked.
Definitely. So yeah, I just think it's a great, it is great Halloween movie, because it is scary as hell. You know what I mean? It's just creepy, and you don't know what's going to happen, and it's pretty bleak. It's just, I don't know. It's a classic.
One of those movies that doesn't have a happy ending.
The score is ridiculous. I love this fucking. I love the.
So the score you mentioned, it sounds like John Carpenter's scores before, and it's ironically he didn't score it. It was, you know, Morricone, who later won an Oscar for the Hateful Eight, I think.
Oh wow!
Years late, he won a score for Tarantino's. Yeah. That was funny. So, shall we get into it?
Yes.
Let's roll.
You see, like I said, great score to open it. Sounds like John Carpenter. Sounds a lot like Escape from New York score. Spacecraft enters the Earth's
atmosphere. I like that too. That it wasn't a right away. It's like, no, it's just, there's a space alien coming.
Don't worry, guys. Exactly. And it's so there's some different theories, because you know, the spaceship crashed. What was 100,000 years earlier? I think it's mentioned. It's mentioned later on
because of how deep the ice was. Yeah,
they could have taken over, like this. Even this movie, we talked about a lot when we did The Usual Suspect, or The Unusual Suspects, as Dave would say. We talked about how there's a lot of unanswered questions. This movie has more unanswered questions than anything, right? As far as about the aliens, what they want, what happens at the end. It's just, there's just so many questions that, and then the end, obviously, but so many questions. Like, they may have assimilated to whoever's spacecraft that was.
that thing under the spacecraft under the where Wilford Brimley was. Like, what the hell was that about?
Well, right. Hey. I don't even think that was to fly into space. I think that was they recreated the spacecraft out of the as much as they could out of the helicopter. But again, this
were making him do it. Okay.
Yeah, don't know. Right. They take human memory and human knowledge and everything, and it's just so you don't know at the beginning even if they made that spacecraft themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like they could have assimilated to any, you know, another alien creature.
Alien takes over the human body. Do they even know they're taken over?
The people?
Yeah, the people.
I think it seems to kill them right away, right? I mean,
does once they either that or yeah, oh, it must no. take them over right it away because they're hiding then.
Yeah. So like that's still like you said all of these unanswered questions. Like that's an unanswered question I mean too. Like, how long does it take?
Right, how much of Blair is still in there? But maybe they take over completely. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be much.
It seemed like conflict. The dog was already fully taken. Oh boy.
Yes. Yeah. So you get the cool title.
Which
of the thing is
burning. I looked up the 1951 and they do the same thing.
Same thing, old-fashioned letters, it looked like, right?
Yep.
So you get the helicopter coming over the mountains, the Norwegians, and they're looking for something that you see is the sled dog running. They're going after it. They're trying to shoot after it. This guy's a terrible shot, right? It a million times. What's that?
They're throwing grenades at the poor thing, too. This was a strange scene for me because I've never seen this movie. I'm like, why the fuck are they shooting at this dog?
Like, run, dog, run.
No idea.
So you have never seen it either, right? Because you confused it with a Swamp Thing. That's amazing that both of you guys, 80s superstars, never saw it. I'm amazed more than anything. So this Norwegian that gets out, one of them gets out accidentally, the pilot accidentally blows himself up, right? Very sloppy. The other one tries to shoot the dog. He shoots Bennings in the leg. I have all their names, by the way. Like I wrote down all their names because I'm like, this guy's this guy. You know, this guy is a geologist and Palmer is an assistant pilot and et cetera, et cetera.
So many faces where I go, I recognize him.
Exactly. So then he shoots Bennings and then he's trying to shoot the dog and it is Gary, the guy who's in charge. Shoots him dead. You know who that guy is, Mikey? On a side note,
the guy who played Gary or the Norwegian. I see the actors here, but I don't know. I don't recognize.
You would only recognize him from one episode of Breaking Bad called he plays the German.
Is that Norbert? That guy?
Yeah, he plays the German. Remember the guy who killed himself in Breaking Bad in Madrigal?
Sorry, Dave. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
I don't.
Okay.
The Norwegian sounds familiar, but it's been a while.
It was him. Anyways, that was just a little side note. So he kills himself. And you see Brimley's playing ping pong. Brimley is who plays Blair, who is the biologist. Then we see Mac is pouring some J&B. I used to love that scotch. Playing chess versus the computer, loses, cheating bitch.
Ruins the computer.
Into the computer.
Like, computer's now it's ruined. It did. It had one job. This whole computer had one job.
Yeah, not a lot of patience, that guy. So Matt goes out drinking scotch. He's got by the bottle. Sees the cop trying to figure out what he's doing. This is Matt did this before the guy blew him up. The guy blew himself up and then the other guy gets shot dead. Yeah. I got ahead of myself. Excuse me. So they, after the explosion and Gary shoots the other guy dead, they put out the fire and Max says, first goddamn week of winter, right? So you see Windows, the radio guy. They call him Windows because of his glasses.
What other movie was Windows in? Do you know, Mikey or Chris?
The Wanderers? I mean, the Warriors?
Yes, the Warriors. He was the one that got thrown into the train.
I would have never.
Okay. I didn't even research that, but you could tell he was not the Wanderers, the Warriors. Come out and play. So he's trying to reach someone.
U.S. number 31 calling McMurdo. Come in. Over. U.S. number 31 calling McMurdo. Urgent. Come in. Over. Great.
Come on.
Nobody.
Nobody. Get a hold of somebody. Get a hold of anybody. We got to report this mess.
Look, I haven't been able to reach shit in 2 weeks. I doubt if anybody's talked to anybody.
You see Knowles, who's the cook on roller skates, says, maybe we're in a war with Norway. Pretty good line. They're just wondering why these two guys went a little crazy. And
that's a guy I always thought would be a bigger star, T.K. Carter. He was always in so many sitcoms.
He was in so much. Quite... He was in same.
Something About Mary.
Talk about Something About Mary.
Wasn't he?
Oh, man, you racist bastard. This is the other black guy, David.
I'm sorry, I'm not racist.
That's Keith David. T.K. Carter was like, he was on like the early season of Saved by the Bell. He was Punky Brewster's teacher, I think. Been a bunch of things. He was like Urkel's It's a Wonderful Life coach.
Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn used to do, you know, a few of these like romantic comedies. Do you remember one that was always on Seems Like Old Times when he played it? He was the
with
driver.
Charles Grodin. Yes. That's probably the first place I saw him. I love that movie.
I've seen that movie way too many times. So yes, Knowles was in that movie. So, okay. Dr. Copper wants to check out their station. Weather's getting bad.
Dave, Dr. Copper is not Kurt Russell. Two separate white guys. Just don't want to get you confused.
there's multiple even.
He's very confused.
So Mac says, you know, okay, you really want to save those crazy Swedes. They're Norwegians, Mac. You got to love Mac's look with the sombrero and the shades.
Yes, that I knew. His like iconic look I've seen from pictures.
Yeah, that poster's in your bedroom, you fucking weirdo. We all know that's there.
I wish.
I know you.
I think what somebody wants for Christmas. Boy. Get one on Amazon right now. You see the dog under the ping pong table. We get Knowles listening to some Stevie Wonder. That's the blind singer, Dave. Very superstitious. Writings on the wall. They pan in the empty rooms, right? I like how they did this. You see the dog walking. So cut to the Norwegians' camp.
This is
looks like it was attacked. It's all wreckage. It's smoking.
And I think we get a Carpenter kind of point of view camera, which he loves. Camera. Yeah.
The handheld. Good stuff. You see the wreckage. They're walking in slowly. There's a bloody axe on the door. You know, you see the blood trail with the guy who cut his own throat. You see the blood.
And it's frozen. All frozen. Cool. That is great.
Oh, yeah. The doc gathers the papers to see what they were working on. And Mac finds what looks like the big ice block, right? Whatever they cut out.
They saw things on fire there too. So the prior camp must have realized how to kill this creature.
Yes. Yeah. I guess it's obviously fire is its enemy, you know, because it was, but right. They obviously, it obviously wiped them all out too, and it turned into the dog. And that's why they needed to destroy it and failed. And they came close. All they had to do was get that dog, right? And that was it. Although, you know, like they say, some of its organisms are still alive after you got to make sure you totally burn it, which comes in.
Yeah, which later. I guess.
So, and then you see the big body outside.
That body was
the big, creepy. It did the face. Like it was
trying
to
assimilate or something. And then
it was like, looked like Siamese twins. It was pretty creepy. Just think about how long it took to work on that one thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Nowadays, digital artists would sit there. Even the dog would be digital.
Right.
The dog
would
be digital. Mm-hmm. That dog was well trained. So,
he was great. Was he nominated? So they fly back. They're looking at the body. Like I said, the Siamese twin looking thing.
We found this.
They want to do an autopsy. Blair, the biologist. And is going to do the autopsy. Gary gets mad at Windows. He's not reaching anyone. So they did an autopsy.
Could the autopsy be where Blair, I mean, he's right up in there.
Yeah.
It could have been just a little blood, right? That
it could have, right. Right. It could have been. You never know. I mean, the one question I heard somebody not complaining, but they're like, if they never should have separated, it all should have stayed in the room, which would be kind of tough, I guess.
They didn't know what was going on at the beginning.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. They wouldn't have to worry. They wouldn't have thought to worry.
But I don't think Blair was, I think Blair might, if he was infected at that point, then it meant to, when you believe that he, a slow process before this thing takes control, because he was doing all the research on what this thing could be.
Right. Which, that's a good point, but I don't think
that's true.
I don't think there was a slow process. You would have figured it learned by now. So they do the autopsy. All the organs look fine.
Well, what we got here is what appears to be anyway, a normal set of internal organs. Heart. Lungs, kidneys, liver, intestines. Seem to be normal.
He's awesome in this, right? Wolford. Oh. Who was, like I mentioned, only 27 years young.
He has this like gravitas.
He has been our age in this movie.
Well, he was, so he did 48. Conclude, like 3 years later, I think. And there was the big thing. He was 49. So he, you know, he was like,
it's amazing what a big, bushy mustache will do to make him look that much older, you know?
Yes.
A little white hair.
He takes the normal, you know, the organs, and he's like, you know, these organs are normal. He's amazed by the whole autopsy. They're watching Let's Make a Deal. They're all in the break room. Bennings gets scared by the dog, tells Clark to put the dog with the other ones, takes him in the cage, shuts out the lights. He leaves.
The dog knew right away.
It's creepy, right? Stop making noise immediately. We're in the room with the dogs. The face splits and you get all the tentacles, all the spinning things.
Just
and then spider legs come out.
That is like so 50-ish, like, bye. Type of, you know,
right.
Yeah. No, I agree. But the special effects is still like so creepy. And
yeah.
They're not bad. You know what I mean? They're not bad. It's pretty amazing.
My son was terrible. The special effects.
Horrible. They were terrible?
You think this is scary? He's like, no, it's dumb.
Okay. But he's looking at it through today's eyes, not through 1982, you know?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying you like, you're not saying that's terrible. You're saying like, what the, you're reacting kind of how they are. You're like, that's so creepy. That's, you know.
I thought it was very creepy. That the movie was well done for its time. I don't know if kids of today would think it's as good as we do.
Right.
Right. They're used to CGI. Everything's CGI. So
we know some people who can't even watch a black and white movie. Never mind. You know.
This is true.
Who's that?
Your brother-in-law.
Oh my,
FDG. Let's give him a shout out. He's gonna enjoy it. He might watch this. It's
in color.
Wait, there's no CGI or Thanos or tank tops.
There might have been. No, it was too cold.
What's that?
I said there might have been, but no, it was too cold for tanks.
No shots of Mac in a tank top. So Or Zac, you know, Efron, what's his name? He's not in any of these.
I couldn't think of his name.
So the dog's going crazy, spraying the other dogs. Clock comes in. He's like, what the fuck? You know, the dogs run out.
One dog definitely for real gets sprayed. I was like, oh, I felt bad.
Yeah, that was, I knew Mikey was gonna have trouble with that. So, and he's like, what the fuck is that? He shuts the thing, shuts the gate. And Max in the other room, hears the drinking a Bud, I think. Hears the noise, smashes the fire alarm with the beer. They all went in.
I liked that they all went in. And it wasn't like in these other movies where someone sees something, they die. No one else notices for another 20 minutes.
Right.
Or no one that gets away. Like right away, they all see there's some.
Exactly. There's none of that. Yeah. You know, not believing somebody. They're all on the same page right away. They're all like, what the fuck? They all like, this is something from outer space.
Is this our second movie with a flamethrower?
I was going to say, this is that the flamethrower in Once Upon a Time was pretty, you know, it was pretty central to the plot when you know, at the end and he's, you know, Rick using the flamethrower and it was great. It's a flamethrower.
The third. So
it is the third. What's the third?
Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Right. I think I used that joke last time with Saving Private Ryan.
Let him burn.
Yeah. There was in a couple times, but it's huge. It's very awful.
Oh, and then remember when Billy Madison burned the penguin? Oh wait.
Yes. Yep. And also, you know, I thought it came out of left field in Whiplash.
They just happened to have the flamethrower there. That's what they used to kill.
Well, I think they have it because something to do with melting ice. I'm guessing. That's my guess. Right.
Good thinking, Mike. They have a couple.
There was no connection between what they found on the other camp to use the flamethrower in that situation. It was just they had it.
Oh, you mean the other camp didn't have one? Is that what you mean?
Oh, they saw that the place was burnt out, so they knew that burning it would.
Yes, I guess. Or what else? You know, that Mac was shooting it with. You know,
yeah,
was shooting it with the. Mac started shooting it with the shotgun. Shot the dog that he had captured. Right. So the arm reaches up, goes through the ceiling, and this is when the thing opens up like Seymour, like a plant thing. Oh. And that's when the
nice Seymour
child comes in with the flame.
Actually, it's Audrey.
With the torch. With the flamethrower and puts it out, right? And then they put out the fire, right? So they're doing an autopsy on this. And this is when Blair's like, oh my God, he's cutting the, you see the big bone thing? He's like, this is an organism that imitates what it gets. He tries to assimilate.
He figured that out pretty quick.
You see, what we're talking about here is an organism that imitates other life forms, and it imitates them perfectly. When this thing attacked our dogs, it tried to digest them, absorb them, and in the process shape its own cells to imitate them. This, for instance, that's not dog. It's imitation. We got to it before it had time to finish.
Finish what?
Finish imitating these dogs.
How did he figure out that so fast?
I don't know. Plot-wise, I mean, it wouldn't make sense if he was the thing and he was telling them.
He's a biologist.
Right? Yeah. Yes. It was very quick, I guess. You would think he would need to study.
Use that top-of-the-line computer.
The big bone thing was pretty gross, right? And then one of the dogs, they're given a shot. And he asks... Blair asks Clark, how long were you alone with it? This is when the paranoia starts. How long were you alone with the dog? He's already suspicious, already wondering if Clark was maybe assimilated. So they're watching the Norwegians tapes, video of them digging into the ice. So Mac wants to go see where they were digging. He flies with Norris this time, the geologist, the chubby guy that's, I don't know what movies he's been in, but... They do have to make a replica, at least of his head, of his head a couple times. But so this is when they see the giant spaceship looking thing. Palmer's with them too. Norris quickly figures out that the ice is 100,000 years old.
Jesus, how long you figure this has been in the ice?
Well,
The backscatter effect's been bringing things up from way down around here for a long time. I'd say the ice that's buried in is 100,000 years old, at least.
Those Norwegians blew it up.
Yeah.
Right.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. Cool.
Back at the station, Mac and Chiles talking about it. Chiles is like, you know, thinks it's bullshit. They're all looking at pieces of the ship, and they're all talking about the thing coming out of the ice, you know, after years. Blair's quiet. He's calculating. He's thinking at it. This is when you see him looking at the programs. Looks like Space Armada or something, right?
Look like asteroids.
Asteroids, yeah. Even more. So probability.
Like the next. But you couldn't help but like when you're sitting in the house, about his character and how isolated he must have felt as he's looking at this data just flowing through.
Pretty bleak, right? Probability of one or more members being infected by it is 75%. Simulation shows entire world population affected by 26,000 hours. So he gets the gun out of the draw. And this, you see Mac looking at the sweatshirt. He's figuring stuff out. So they're storing the bodies where Mac is up in his shack. So he has to move.
Can I interject? Did we ever figure out the sweatshirt?
I don't think that's another unanswered question, because he said one of you know, someone else could have burned it. And
the name tag was off or something. Yeah, you couldn't see that.
Oh, the sweatshirt that Mac's looking at?
Right.
Right, yeah. No, it's a good question. Somebody's probably listening to this and
yelling at their screen.
And yelling, yeah.
Clip more toenails.
Idiots. A thing expert. So we'll have someone tweeting us. Like, give us a heads up when that happens. So Fuchs is the other guy with the guy with the glasses. He wants to talk to him. Windows wants to burn the body. And Benning's like, you know, you can't burn the find of the century. It's going to win a Nobel Prize.
Hey, you should have.
And Windows leaves, and you see the blanket moving and blood coming down, right? So you don't see what happens to Benning's. But Fuchs wanted to talk to Mac. He says something's up with Blair. You know, he has his notebook.
There's something wrong with Blair. He's locked himself in his room and he won't answer the door. So I took one of his notebooks from the lab.
Yeah.
Listen. It could have imitated a million life forms on a million planets. Could change into any one of them at any time. Now it wants life forms on Earth.
It's getting cold in here, Fuchs, and I haven't slept in
2 days. Wait a minute, Mac, wait a minute. It needs to be alone and in close proximity with a life form to be absorbed. The chameleon strikes in the dark.
So is Blair cracking up or what?
In the Creed, there is still cellular activity in these burned remains. They're not dead yet.
He's telling them, you know, something about the remains aren't dead. They're burnt. There's still live parts. It's pretty cool how they show that. And then they
realize.
You go to Windows coming in. He sees the blood on the clothes. And then he sees that Benning's, you know, shirtless body with the thing around his neck.
That was like creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes and gets Mac and they see windows broken. They see outside what looks like Benning's, and you see he's got like claws. And that is one horrifying scream though, right?
Mm-hmm. He's outside before they burn him.
Yes. Yes. Mac torches him. Gary's upset because he was, you know, he was my friend. And Mac's like, well, you have to burn them all, you know, because he knows there's still pieces of them alive. So later on, they can't find Blair. Mac sees someone running. He goes to the copter. He sees it's all damaged, right? Yeah, gunshots. That's when he runs in. Blair's going crazy.
You don't understand. That thing wanted to be us. Out. Imitate everything on the face of the earth and nothing.
Okay, Blair. Come on, man. You don't want to hurt anybody.
He's really great in this, right? He's shooting at him, ranting and raving. He's got the axe.
And to me, I'm thinking, my thought at that time was, he doesn't want the thing. He knows that if anyone leaves, like, I feel like he's still not infected at this point because he's trying to avoid.
So either why would he right. Go rant and rave? Why would he says some, yeah. You know, some of you guys don't know what's going on.
He's still afraid. He knows that, you know, if anybody leaves, it's going to take the world though.
He knows, right, exactly. He knows the big picture, really. And he knows somebody's infected already, one of those.
Yeah, but but when they're infected, they're very good at hiding it. So it's still like you're surprised when someone that is infected actually, they're saying, yes, like,
they really assimilate, but they also, I don't know, this, you know, they would,
they hide it right until they're found, and then they go crazy.
Yeah.
So, so he's ranting and raving, busting up shit. He killed the rest of the dogs. I guess he had to, but busted up the tractor too. He's ranting. He's saying what would happen, and then they all charge him, and they tackle him. They show the poor dog's dead. They take Blair to lock him in the tool shed. Doctor gives him a sedative, and Max talking to him. He's like, you can't trust anyone. So he's like talking. You can't. He says, watch Clark. You know, keep an eye on him. So they're outside talking. They have no radios or working helicopters. And they're all standing around. This is when Max says, one or more of us ain't what they seem. And then the doctor said, you could do a blood test. And he's like, tells them to keep an eye on Clark, but they go to get the blood. They all have blood in, right? They all give blood.
This is when they're all tied up giving blood.
No. This is when there's a big storage of all their blood, right?
That's right.
They storage all their blood and they see it's all been dreamed. And this is when more paranoia strikes. They're wondering who has the key. You know, this is getting suspicious. Of course, you know, Gary has the key. So he gives it to the doctor.
Doctor has the nose ring.
Doctor has the nose ring, right. So those two are obviously the most, you know, suspicious to everybody. This is when Windows goes Nazi, runs in the other room, you know, breaks the rifle gun case and gets the rifle, and then Gary, you know, they make him put the gun down. So this is when Gary also says, since he had the key, you probably want someone else in charge. He tries to give it to Norris. He's like, you know, I'm not up for it. So Charles is like, you know, you're not even temperate enough. Max says to him, you're not even temperate enough. That's racist. So Max in charge after this, right? So they're outside. Max says I know I'm human. Some of you must be human. Otherwise you'd all charge me right now. But we're going to find out who is who, right? We're going to find out who's the thing. So they separate Clark because they're all suspicious of him, Gary and Copper because they had the keys, you know? So they're going to sedate them and then, you know, tie them down. So, but this is when Mac is making a tape.
I'm going to hide this tape when I'm finished. If none of us make it, at least there'll be some kind of record. The storm's been hitting us hard now for 48 hours. We still have nothing to go on. One other thing. I think it rips through your clothes when it takes you over. Windows found some shredded long johns, but the name tag was missing. They could be anybody's. Nobody trusts anybody now. We're all very tired.
I think this was the way to convey that he knows it's something to do with they take over your clothes, right?
Take over your what?
He mentions... I think it rips through your clothes when it takes you over.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's saying that to the tape. I think that's how, you know, just to show that's what his thought process is. So this is, he sees Fuchs, and who says we should prepare our own meals, eat out of cans. And this is when the scene with Fuchs, and you see he's walking in the darkened room and you see someone walks by.
You're like, that was very Carpenter, very Michael Myers.
Yeah, little mini jump scare. And so he walked by, takes the flare outside, and that's all you see of him.
I wonder if he did burn himself.
I think he did.
Yeah.
So this is when, oh, this is Fuchs sees MacReady's clothes, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. That, I forgot about that when we were texting about something, you know, at the end. I completely forgot about the ripped MacReady clothes. Right,
that he's looking at. What's that?
How can you have forgotten that?
I watched it the first time ever today. You should get a, you got to get a better microphone or a microphone.
It, you, you're breaking in and out. I thought it was me. So, okay. So MacReady says we need to find Fuchs. So we go in and then meet back here and they go to see Blair. This is a pretty awesome, pretty cool shot. You know, he goes to see Blair. Have you seen Fuchs and you see a good shot with him of the noose?
It ain't Fuchs. I'm not going to harm anybody and there's nothing wrong with me. And if there was, I'm all better now. I'd like to come back inside. Now you got my promise.
We'll see.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, man. I want to come back inside, don't you understand it? I'm all right. I'm much better. And I won't harm anybody. You got to let me come back inside.
You get a new tenant, and he's like, can I come back inside? He's like begging. He's like, I'm all better now. I, you know, like, I was a little crazy. I'm all better now. So Mac leaves him window. Knowles and Mac find something burned in the snow. That's where they find Fuchs. And Mac's like, I think he burned himself. I think he did too, I guess. Right? So he tells Windows to go in. He and Knowles will be in soon. He's like, where the hell are we going? To my shack. You know, what the hell for? Because when I left my shack, the lights were off.
He's got nice, his own nice little shack.
Yeah. They didn't
explain that while the lights were on. Like, who was in there? I mean, I missed that.
So many unanswered questions.
I know. They went to look, and then...
Maybe that's when someone got his sweatshirt.
Exactly.
Maybe the thing got his sweatshirt to burn it and make it look like... You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. So 45 minutes later, Knowles comes back. Half frozen. The other guys are building a barricade. And you see him come back in. He's all frozen. He's like, I cut Mac loose. He shows him his clothes. They all assume it got to Mac. This is great. This whole pot with Mac coming in. So he's turning the handles and they're like, Windows is worried. He still looks up to him, right? He's like, thinks it's MacReady. He sneaks into the supply closet. He had a key. Charles busts down the door. MacReady has, you know, he has a fuse. Get a flare, and he's holding dynamite.
Anyone messes with me, and the whole camp goes. Come on, Charles, burn me. Put those torches on the floor and back off. Back off. Way off.
Player was a little too close to that dynamite.
Yeah, he's going to blow them all up. So he's all frozen. Norris and the other guy try to take him, and he's, you know, I don't know what happens. He still has the dynamite. And this is when Norris goes down. It looks like he's having a heart attack. So they bring him to the dock. He's not breathing. Bring him to the dock. They untie the dock. He's doing CPR. Windows is helping him. This was pretty awesome too, right?
This was pretty, this was some bonkers shit all around.
This was crazy. So Mac's thawing out. He's got the dynamite and the flamethrower, and says anyone could have burned my clothes. You know, so they need the defibrillator, and this is you see Clark has the scalpel in his hand. So Coppa hits him once, clear.
Clear.
Hits him again. His arms go right into the body, and then his torso turns into teeth. Bites his arms off.
Bites his arms off. That was like, what the fuck?
He could have still performed like surgery or doctors.
If he did it with his feet, sure.
With no arms?
Yeah, just wondering. What do you guys think?
I mean, maybe down the road if he had the proper, prosthetics. Like if he was able to, not bleed to death.
Yeah, true. He didn't make it. Unfortunately, he didn't make it.
Yeah. So that thing happens and the thing turns in, obviously the Norris thing opens up and you see the spaghetti thing, you know, it's tentacles or whatever. And then stretches up with the head and you see a head going off to the side and tentacles and you see the head and the side stretching. Just
that's creepy, ripping off the body.
Creepy special effects, yeah. Mac torches it and the head stretches off down
the
side.
I love that they didn't see the head.
Yeah, tentacles come out and you see, you know, like legs come out. So it looks like a spider. Well, actually, right, it drags itself to the chair first. They put out the fire, and then you see the legs come
out. I think
up.
I remember hearing about the spider head.
That was the biggest probably what the fuck moment, right? It was like...
Pretty much,
yeah. And a great line by Palmer.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
Who, is he infected yet? But you think they're going to miss it because you see it crawling in the background and you see Palmer sees it and he says, you got to be fucking kidding me. I guess that still cracks Kurt Russell up. He said whenever he watches the movie, he loved the delivery of that line.
I like that guy, yeah.
Yeah. So they torch that. Mac wants Palmer to tie him all up. Chow says, you're going to have to kill me? Well, then I'm going to kill you. You know, Clark rushes him. He shoots him in the head. R.I.P. my man.
Yeah, he wasn't messing around. He took him right out.
So they put the doc died of blood loss. So unfortunately, Dave's plan of his future surgery is not going to come to fruition. So they put their bodies off to the side. They're going to burn them. But Mac wants to.
But I think Kurt's character at this point, Mac, already knew they're all going to die. So I don't think he's really worried about the whole, like, we're all going to die type of thing. That's why he's so that.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's probably coming to, you know, realization of that. So he wants them all tied up and to test their blood. So he tells Windows to get blood from everyone. We're going to find out who is a thing. Best so the camera's showing each character.
This is the best scene.
Say it again.
This was the best scene of the movie right here.
This is why Carpenter did it. I love the mystery of it. And it's just, you get the concept tension. Of it's great. It's like, Max, like, you know,
because you got the guys Max who said, aren't they know, or at least they think they know they're not the thing, but they're like nervous something's going to happen. The guy who does know probably that he is the thing. It was just so.
Well, they look relieved. I think they don't know. The guys who aren't the thing don't know that they aren't.
Right. That's
it might not work the other way. You know what I mean? I don't think it works. So camera shows each character. He says, Max says, every little part of it, it's a whole. It's going to try to protect its own life. The blood is an organism. When a man bleeds, it's just tissue. Blood from a thing is, you know, it'll try to survive. So that's his theory. Takes blood from Knowles, tells Windows to take his own blood. So he
do it
up
in
the
a very, wall. Like, a lot of blood. I'm like, can you just take a little there? Like, slice in there. Friggin'
thumbs
open.
He wanted to be sure.
You want to be thorough.
So he puts the wire. I love how it doesn't just smoke. You know, you get the, like, the squeaking of glass. Yeah. So he puts it in Knowles and he puts it in Windows, just smokes, puts it in his own, says, we're going to find out what I already know. Child's like, that's a crock of shit. So he does the doc and Clark, both okay, makes you a murderer. So,
well, love how all their facial expressions prior to the testing, they're all like, oh my God, am I going to fucking be, am I infected?
Yeah.
Like, oh no.
It's great. Right. It's a very tense scene.
I gotta get
like alive. we were just saying, it was almost like they didn't know.
Even Windows, like Windows' facial expression was like completely tense, and you're like, oh, he's pot.
Yeah. So was Knowles.
You know, and I
Knowles.
Like once they passed the test, then all of a sudden they're part of the crew. They're untied. And they're
yeah.
Helping.
Well, this is another one of the best lines, right? So, but this is when he did Copper and Clark, and he's like, makes you a murderer. Then he's like, I'm going to do Palmer now. This is when Gary says, this is nonsense. Max, like, we'll do you last because he thinks it's Gary.
Yep.
And then he's like, I thought you'd say that, Gary. And as he's doing that, he does Palmer and the blood jumps out.
Get away from me. McCready, burn it. What is it?
The blood's moving. And that's when Palmer starts shaking. These are a little... You see his face. He was a little Poltergeist is, you know, you see his, or a little, looked a little like the end of Raiders.
Raiders, the melting.
Right. And Mac's flamethrower is not working. And the thing goes up to the ceiling. It's pretty horrifying. They're like, Windows, blast him. Windows just, you know, freezes up. You don't want to freeze up in this moment. So Palmer's head busts open and a string grabs Windows around his neck and pulls him. And he bites him with both halves of his head.
I thought he was going to swallow him completely. I was hoping that, that his whole body was going to go in.
Ugh. The other guys are freaking out. I love the other guys are tied up. Throws Windows' body. Mac finally torches it. Walks outside. And they see Windows' body turning into the thing. He torches that too. And you see Knowles and Childs. You know, Childs got cleared. After Childs gets cleared, he's like, untie me. He's freaking out. It's almost as soon as, like you said, as soon as, it's almost like they didn't realize they were, you know, they're, now that they're free, I could be sitting next to a thing. Well, I guess also he just saw that horrific, you know, thing that just happened. Yeah. Right. So finally they do Gary. This is one of the greatest lines.
I know you gentlemen have been through a lot. But when you find the time, I'd rather not spend the rest of this winter tied to this fucking couch.
Just great delivery. So Mac tells Childs they're going to go get Blair to test. If he comes back alone and we aren't with him, burn him. So they leave. They just leave Childs, I guess. So they go to the shack. No Blair. They check underneath. They see the floorboards. And this is when they see the ship that he built, right?
Right. So that had to, like, that's what he was getting the parts from the helicopter for? Stripping the helicopter, stripping the, he went and took the generator and all these things?
I think, like you said, I think he destroyed it at first, right?
Like that, but that took a long time for that thing to be, like, how quickly was that thing built?
I don't know. But that's like, but like you said, if he destroyed it and then he was acting as if he was ranting and raving, why would he do that if he's a thing?
Right.
He destroyed all their avenues of escape and killed the dogs because he didn't want this thing. He knew the big picture. He didn't want this.
Right, that's true.
So I
thought we were going to see, I'm sorry, I thought we were going to see that even before the Norwegians showed up, someone was infected and they've been building this. That's what I thought that ship was going to lead to.
But right, no, I don't think so. And I think it's just he got infected when he was out in the shack and then took the parts wherever they were and decided he's going to make this ship. So, okay, you see the point of view back into the main building, pretty intense music. Okay, they're getting the dynamite ready and Nall sees someone's leaving, right? He assumes it's Childs. Mac says something turned off the generator, right? We're going to freeze to death. Basically, he's realizing that they're screwed. I mean, like you said, he may have known they were all dead, but he's telling them now, we're not making it out of here alive, but neither is that thing.
That's what he said.
Yep.
So they're going to blow it up because otherwise the thing wants to just, it'll be fine with freezing itself and waiting for the rescue team to come.
Yep. He said that thing, we're going to have to torch everything. We don't want that thing to freeze, right? They're blowing it up section by section. They go to the generator room. It's when Gary says it's gone.
Generator's gone. Any way we can fix it? It's gone, MacReady.
Sounds like it's gone. Completely gone. So they're planting the dynamite near the generator.
We got to bring this whole place right down into the ice. Gary, plant yours in the old storage room. Knoll down by the generator.
Cut to Gary. He's messing with the flashlight. Of course, he knows something's going to happen.
Right.
The thing that looks like Blair pops up and sticks his fingers into his cheeks.
Nice old gory kind of kill.
Yeah. Stretching his skin, and then you see him dragging by his face skin.
That was awesome.
Yeah. It's creepy. So Knoll sees something and goes off to check. And that's the last you see of Knoll.
Right. Never see him. Then we get a great effect. I don't know, the rolling floor.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Right. So, right. Mac looks up. He's getting the dynamite set and looks up and he's like, there's nobody else here. Right. Something's going on. And this is when he's like, shit, I am going to, you know, he lights the dynamite, and you see the thing come up to the ground. It's pretty awesome. You know, the floorboards and everything, and then you see this huge, you know, tentacles. It's got a Blair face, part teeth, part the dog. It's like, and Matt grabs the dynamite from the ground, says, fuck you too, blows it up. So he's sitting, and Childs pops up.
You the only one who made it?
Not the only one.
Did you kill it?
Where were you, Childs?
Thought I saw Blair. I went out after him. Got lost in the storm. Fire's got the temperature up all over the camp. Won't last long, though.
Neither will we.
How will we make it?
Maybe we should.
If you're worried about me.
If we've got any surprises for each other. I don't think we're in much shape to do anything about it.
Well, what do we do?
Why don't we just wait here for a little while? See what happens.
Both suspicious, you know, what do we do? Well, we wait a little while, see what happens, and they're both like laughing a little, and you get the score. And like I mentioned earlier,
well, they actually, they talked about how they're suspicious of one another, like where were, like where were you?
Yeah, then they share a drink, but they're suspicious, and then so you don't know if, I mean, the happy ending would be. The happy ending would be, air quotes, that neither of them affected, and they just both freeze to death. That's the, and they save mankind.
But the fact is, Kurt Russell's like, it doesn't matter. We're both too tired to do anything about it anyway. So let's just sit back and, you know, see how this plays out. I thought that was such a great. That exchange was.
It was awesome. I love how you leave an unknown, but and then, like I said, I saw that. The tweet from John Carpenter confirms that one of them is the thing, you know.
I like that he confirmed that one of them is, but he won't say.
Yeah.
That's good. Leave some mystery.
So just a great, great entertaining horror.
Great monster
sci-fi.
Movie. Nice monster movie.
Monster movie. That is a classic.
It is. It really is. Speaking of classic. Not a monster movie, but another horror movie.
It's a monster
movie. I guess it is a monster movie. It's been a long time since I've seen this one. We're going back. Now, if you thought 82 was a long time ago, we're going back to the 1960s next time for one of Dave's favorite directors, maybe not his favorite director, but one of his favorite people, Roman Polanski, the director of Rosemary's Baby from 1968. We're going to fit that into spooky season somehow, even though next week I will be traveling driving my mother-in-law to Florida. That's the real horror movie right there.
Yeah,
I'm driving my mother-in-law to Florida on Saturday and hanging out with her until Thursday.
Is out for Halloween or what?
What's that, David?
You put these things out before Halloween.
Of course, David. If you remember The Exorcist, I was up till like 1 a.m. putting The Exorcist out, and it was out on Halloween day.
I want to thank all our listeners who have made The Shining their favorite pod.
Yeah, Dave won. If you remember, Dave won that day.
My favorite pod, my favorite, you know, episode. I brought it that day too. Thank you, everyone.
Well, what I'm excited about is that Dave hasn't shut up about Rosemary's Baby for months, so he better fucking bring it next time.
Did you bring it tonight, Dave?
No, I really didn't.
He talked more than he was heard because we could barely hear him with his phone.
Well, this is true. I'm going to bring my computer. I'll have my computer next time we do this. But listen, I actually really thoroughly enjoy this movie. It's a very good paranoia type of movie. I loved it.
So. Yes, I'm glad that I finally was forced, you know what I mean? Like finally had a good excuse to watch this movie.
And yes. Yeah, certain movies, right, you have on your list to to watch. Like exactly. I had The Witch on my list to watch, like we were talking about, that I just was finally like, I watched it yesterday. I'm like, people rave about this movie.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
I've had it, again, on my list for years. I've always called it The Vitch, though, because it looked like two Vs. But all right. So, yes, next time, Rosemary's Baby. But until then, you can find us on Twitter at @find_movies. You can find us on Instagram at @find_movies, @find_spirits. And you can find Dave probably on his couch clipping his toenails next time, but not this time, thankfully. Christopher, any parting words before we go?
No parting words except my buddy's beer from Strongside Brewing that I mentioned before is in all sorts of restaurants all over Massachusetts now. The latest is the Greenhouse Wood-Fired Pub in Mendon. It's like 30 places. It's good stuff.
That's all because of the show. You're welcome. That's
all because of the show, all because of the sponsors. So try it. Try Strongside Brewing beer. Yes. There's a couple.
David, any plugs? Any friends' businesses you want to plug?
No, I'm good.
You're good. All right, then. Well, I'm still going to try it. Say goodbye, David.
Just shut up. It's an old hat, but no one gives a fuck about it anymore.
That's going to be clipped at the end, right?
Perfect. No, that's going to be right up to the end.
We talk about great movies while drinking. We talk about great movies while drinking. Yeah, we talk about great movies while drinking. And we feel fine.
And by the time people hear this, it'll be well into the horror month.
Hanging up our stockings.
Well, because you're fucking horrible at producing podcasts, Mike.
David, I will pay you to do it. But I mean, I could also pay an orangutan and see what happens. See who gets it done first.